Hi, and welcome to Common Denominator, straight up conversations with me, Moshe Popak. Each week I chat with pioneers, innovators, and truly inspirational people to learn the steps they take to turn their ideas into reality. My goal is to empower you to dive in, be bold, and take profound steps toward realizing your own potential. Joining me this week is Dr. Sonali Ruder, aka the Foodie Physician. Not only is Sonali an ER doctor, she's also a trained chef and the author of numerous cookbooks. She'll discuss food as medicine and how eating healthy can also be delicious. Next.
This is Common Denominator, straight up conversations with Moshe Popak. Now, here's Moshe.
Sonali, thank you so much for joining us here on Common Denominator.
Thank you so much for having me, Moshe.
So how does an ER doctor become the foodie physician?
I went to medical school. I started doing my residency training in emergency medicine and ended up falling in love with cooking later in life. You know, it was really the first time I was living on my own and having to kind of cook for myself. Started cooking a lot when I was a resident. It became a way for me to relax and de-stress after a tough shift in the ER. And I just found that I loved it and I was really good at it. So after doing it for a few years, I actually decided to enroll in culinary school. So I enrolled in culinary school at the age of 34 when I was already a doctor and ended up having the most amazing experience. And while I was in culinary school, I started a food blog, which is called The Foodie Physician. And it's grown so much over the years and have also authored a few cookbooks in the meantime and have become a mom. So basically now I kind of think I've achieved a great work-life balance. Part of the week I work in a busy emergency room. Parts of the week I'm testing recipes in my kitchen. And, you know, also I'm a mom all the time, which is the most important job.
Yeah, that's the balance of those and to have... I guess it brings out your creative side, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I this is one of the most common pieces of advice that I used to give to the young doctors in training was you kind of have to have other interests to bring balance to your life, especially when you're in a field like emergency medicine, because it is a very high stress job. You know, you kind of always have to be on top of your game. You never know what's going to come through those doors next. You know, over the years, I've seen some pretty crazy things doing this for many years. And you kind of need a way to kind of de-stress, decompress after a tough shift. And for me, I found that escape in cooking. I can sit there and chop an onion for hours. I love it. For some people, they hate the thought of getting in the kitchen and cooking. But for me, I find it really relaxing and enjoyable.
Yeah, probably the juxtaposition of, we're talking a little bit before about the focus and the energy, right? You don't know what you're going to get. And it's probably emotionally... tolling, right, to be in the ER room.
It really, it's emotionally draining. I mean, you are seeing people at their worst, you know, they're most stressed out, people in pain. You know, unfortunately, we see people dying in the ER sometimes. I mean, it's an emotional roller coaster. And you also don't want to bring that all home with you, you know, to your family at the end of the day. I want to be able to come home and relax and spend time with my kids. So for me, like cooking is a way to kind of like decompress. And it's also a great way to bring people together. You know, it's my daughter's old enough now that I get her in the kitchen with me, and it's a great way to bond together. She loves to cook with me.
Right, just thinking about the common denominator of people, right?
Right.
Good food.
Yep.
Of course, definitely brings people together.
Yes.
And from your experiences in the ER room, how is that reflected as far as healthy eating?
So, you know, what's interesting is that in the ER, I'm actually most of the time seeing people in the late stages of their disease processes. You know, we get lots of people every day with having heart attacks, strokes, you know, kidney failure. And these are diseases that come as a result of years and years of uncontrolled high blood pressure, diabetes, obesity. And after doing this for a few years, I kind of started getting frustrated, tired of just kind of writing a prescription, you know, and I started researching more into what can we do to prevent these diseases before they even begin. And you don't really learn that in medical school. In medical school, you learn how to treat disease. You don't really learn so much about preventative medicine and the role that nutrition and diet plays in disease. So I kind of did this research on my own, and I took a lot of courses. And that's kind of what my blog and my website developed into. My philosophy is that, you know, we have the power to take control of our health. You know, you see a lot of information, sometimes conflicting information on the news out there about how to lose weight, what you should be eating, this diet, that diet. And it's confusing, I understand. And I want people to know that, you know, we have the power to control our health. And one of the best ways to do that is to get in the kitchen and cook.
Yeah.
You know, when you're in the kitchen cooking, you know exactly what's going into your food. You can control the ingredients, the cooking methods. You know, there's so much hidden stuff that goes into food at restaurants. And we eat out so much nowadays, you know.
And by the way, we are what we eat.
Yes.
There's also an idea where I know that if you intake food, mm-hmm. clean food, mm-hmm. that the body has the ability really to
yes.
to heal itself.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when you say clean food, you know, we are talking about food that is minimally processed, right? Mm. I think we talked about this before. It's a food that doesn't have like a laundry list of 30 ingredients when you look at the packaging. You know, one of my favorite authors is Michael Pollan. He's a great writer. He's written a ton about food. And after all of his years of research, he said he can boil down his summary about what we should be eating in 7 words. And I'm going to check my paper so I don't get it wrong. Eat food, not too much, mostly plants.
Right.
Okay. So eat food, that means, and the way he puts it is, eat food that your great-grandmother would recognize as food, not a packaged sugary donut that has like 50 ingredients on it. You know,
right.
Real food, food that you would go in the kitchen and cook. Not too much, that just refers to portion size. You know, if you look at portion sizes in restaurants and things over the years, they've just grown exponentially. We're eating so much more than we used to. And mostly plants. I think only 1 in 10 Americans eats enough fruits and vegetables a day.
Right. Know? And it's interesting, though, also, if I'll be in Whole Foods, for example,
yeah. mm-hmm.
the cost of, let's just say, water, bottled yep. water, mm-hmm. or fruits and vegetables
mm-hmm.
is more expensive than the packaged
yes.
processed food.
Yes.
Which is a little bit ridiculous if I think
yeah.
about it.
And that's actually something people ask me about a lot is just the price. And even like the whole discussion about organic or not, because organic
yeah.
food is going to be more expensive most of the time. So one of the tips I give with that is don't be afraid to buy frozen fruits and vegetables.
Because, right.
you know, frozen fruits and vegetables, they're picked and frozen at their nutritional peak, you know, and all those nutrients are reserved. So don't be afraid to shop in the freezer section.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's also interesting how you mentioned going in medical school.
Yeah.
That there wasn't actually a course in nutrition.
Right.
And we're seeing really if your body can heal itself
mm-hmm.
and food is medicine.
Yep.
You would think that there may be, instead of all the pills that we take,
yes,
right?
Yes, yes.
You would think maybe let's learn about the
right,
foods
right.
and natural ways mm-hmm. that we can heal ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, I see this all the time in the ER, especially something like hypertension. You know,
right.
this is a super common thing. Once you get into, like, say, your 40s, your blood pressure starts creeping up a little, your cholesterol starts creeping up a little, you go to see your doctor. You know, option one, your doctor could write you a prescription and that'll take 5 minutes.
Right.
Option two, which I think is a better way to go, is you give that person a 6-month trial. You say, listen, you have the power to bring this down, most likely. You know, now,
right.
of course, genetics play a certain, you know, role in all of this. But let's for 6 months, let's try to change what you're eating. Let's try to increase your physical activity. And you can probably bring that blood pressure down by itself, or that cholesterol, or that blood sugar, so that you don't need to be on medication. The problem is, you know, a lot of time, I mean, that takes time, you know,
yes.
that takes time, that takes work. A lot of people don't have, you know, that time
right.
or commitment to do it. You know, so when I get that patient in the ER, where I have like the opportunity to make a difference, I try to take that, you know.
Yeah, that's admirable, by the way. That's admirable.
And the other half of the equation, like I mentioned, is staying active, you know, or being more physically active,
yeah.
you know, because we, you know, the thing that kind of hit home with me was when I was writing one of my cookbooks is a baby food cookbook. And I wrote that yeah. when I was pregnant with my daughter years ago. And I started reading all these statistics about you know, the obesity rates that are going up and up in this country and how it's affecting younger and younger people, you know, to the point where one in every three kids is either overweight or obese in this country.
That's a tragedy, by the way.
Yeah.
And I know that if I'll be here in the U.S., mm-hmm. so the typical thought, it's like, oh, a macaroni and cheese mm-hmm. or a hamburger,
yep.
You know, or French fries, for example. Right. But then let's say I'll be in Europe mm-hmm. and it'll be the two-year-old is eating a nice piece of fish
right.
with some salad.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think they have kids' menus like right. we do right here.
Right.
I mean, I think the idea of a children's menu is probably a very American concept. Yeah. And it's always the same. It's always chicken tenders, mac and cheese, you know, French fries, hamburger. And that's actually one of the things in my cookbook I talk about is not being a short order cook. You know, you don't want to be the mom or dad that's making like 20 different meals for all the different kids. You want to make one meal that the whole family can enjoy. And that's what you want to do with your kids. You want to expose them to healthy, nutritious food from an early age. Because the studies show that if you expose them to these foods from an early age, that's going to set those, you know, the foundation basically for healthy living for the rest of their life.
Yeah, I know it's interesting. So each of my nine kids,
yeah.
right? They each, no, I'm telling you, my wife, it was healthy eating
yes.
is like super important.
Yep.
She'll let them cheat every once in a while,
right,
but
sure.
but I see them, they're all particular. I have a 15-year-old, he wants his salad this way, he wants yeah. my other one wants his smoothie that way.
Right.
They're all super particular, but to your point mm-hmm. that if you set up a foundation
yes.
for them that way, problem is all the marketing mm-hmm. for all the not good food.
Yes.
Right? Is just on us mm-hmm. and society's moving so fast.
Right.
So we're like, okay, prepackaged food, we'll just right. stop over there, grab
right.
something.
Exactly.
But I think that everything in moderation, right?
Yeah.
So
that's always been my, you know, my philosophy. I don't believe in fad diets, restrictive diets, because they're set up to make you fail. You know, you might be able to lose a ton of weight restricting, you know, your carbs or going on a, you know, cabbage soup diet or something like that
yeah.
for a week. But then, you know, the minute you start eating normally again, guess what's going to happen? You're going
right.
to gain the weight again, you know, and that leads to this whole phenomenon of yo-yo dieting. So
yeah.
I believe everything in moderation because I love food. I'm a foodie. That's why I call myself the foodie physician. I love food. I think eating is one of life's greatest pleasures. And I don't think you should deprive yourself. I think it's all about
yeah.
balance.
Yeah, I'm also a foodie. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We find some really cool spots, but it's
yeah.
clean.
Yep.
It's clean food. I always say, if you look at the package
yeah.
and there's an ingredient that you don't even know how to pronounce,
right?
Right? You're like,
that's not a good sign.
I don't think I should eat that particular food.
Yeah.
But you mentioned before also you have a cookbook.
Yes.
That you wrote when you're pregnant. My wife's expecting
yes.
due in October.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Our 10th child.
Yep.
So I should. I mean, she hasn't ever, by the way, mm-hmm. at 3:00 in the morning, mm-hmm. asked me
yeah.
to go out and get the ice cream pickles. Like
really?
The cliche.
Okay.
I haven't had that, but. Any advice for me as a husband that I can maybe one or two recipes or ideas.
Give her whatever she wants.
whatever
she wants. Spoil her.
I know.
It's so funny because I did a lot of research before that book and the cravings that people came up with were so varied, you know. Mm. So I've got everything in that book. I actually have a recipe for homemade pickles.
Wow.
I have a recipe for ice cream, but it's a healthy, nice cream, you know, made with pureed bananas. I've got chocolate cupcakes in there, smoothies. Lots of women have tons of nausea and vomiting, you know, in pregnancy. So I have a lot of cold drink recipes. So there's something for everyone.
Wow. No, it definitely varies. And I know when I had my boys and when I had my girls
mm-hmm.
also,
yeah.
my wife's would be, you know, come from the most random places.
Yep.
And also you have a cookbook for kids.
Yeah. Yeah. So my other cookbook is Natural Baby Food and it actually starts from when you first introduce your baby to solids, around 4 to 6 months, all the way up to toddlerhood. And the last chapter is family meals. So this is what I was mentioning before about just being able to cook one meal that the whole family can enjoy. You
right.
know, so you're not making separate chicken nuggets and french fries for your kids, you know?
Right.
Like you want to be able to make fish, like you said, you know, like
yeah.
I can make fish for my daughter and she loves it now. And you know, another tip that I always give to parents, because parents always ask me how to get how to get their picky eaters to eat, you know, is get your kids in the kitchen with you. Because my daughter, when she gets in there and she's peeling vegetables with me or helping me cut something or saute something, she is just so proud of what she's done. And she's so excited to eat it. And then we all sit down and eat together. So that's another thing obviously we are all time starved these days, you know, but if you have the opportunity to sit down as a family and eat together, and your kids see you eating healthy, delicious food, then they're going to want to do that too, you know, because ultimately we're the best examples for our kids.
No, I love that. I love that idea because I've done that. Wife and I, we have events. Yep. Okay, well, let's all get in the kitchen.
Yep.
Right. You're going to make the sweet potato. I'm going to make the salad. Mm-hmm. Wife's going to make the chicken.
Yes.
You know, and all together. And even though it looks a little awkward from the kids.
Right.
But they're super, super happy about it.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, it does take some patience. Like, I know if my daughter's helping me with something, it's going to take a little longer to make it, you know,
right.
But ultimately it's worth it.
Yeah, definitely a great bonding experience doing that.
Yes.
What would you say, you know, it's like you said, it's a very fast paced world. Maybe a couple of tips.
Sure.
If someone's has a lifestyle that, like you said, could sustain.
Yes.
Right? Like certain sustainability.
Yes.
What would you suggest?
First of all, I would say small goals, you know, because small changes lead to big change. Big results, I should say. So, you know, I'm not saying you have to get in the kitchen and cook every day. You know, if you're someone that never cooks and you eat out every day, make it a goal to cook once a week. You know, people ask me if I cook every day. I don't come home from a 10 or 12 hour shift and cook. You know, what I do is I plan my menu for the week. There's something called menu planning. And this is a huge, a great tip for just healthy eating in general. I will sit there at the beginning of the week and plan what my meals are going to be for the week. So I know on days when I'm off, I'll cook enough so that I have leftovers, you know, for the days that I'm working. And it's also a great way to reduce food waste. You know, how many times have you bought like a whole bag of carrots just because you need one carrot for a recipe and then the rest of the carrots will spoil in your fridge, you know?
Sure.
So I will, you know, I'll make one day, I'll grill up a bunch of chicken breasts and veggies or something like that. And then the next day I'll turn that into like chicken quesadillas or, you know, or pasta or something like that. So menu planning, I think, is a great way to use up all your ingredients and try to plan your menu. It also reduces those last minute runs to the fast food place, you know, or ordering takeout at the last minute.
Yeah, it always is that way.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't realize how many times a week you're doing that.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And you got to really be conscious of it.
Conscious of it and slow down for a minute. Yep. Another thing is, you know, eating too much sugar is a huge problem. You know, back in the 80s and 90s, we thought fat was the enemy. So then we started eating all these low-fat products. Now we realize, you know, sugar is kind of not so great.
Right. Yeah.
You know, what happens to your body when you eat too much sugar? You know, your liver stores sugar as glycogen, but when there's too much sugar, it then converts that to fat and it gets stored in your adipose tissue as fat.
Right.
And we eat and drink way too much sugar in this country. And a lot of the problem is sugary drinks with kids.
Mm.
So, you know, I always tell parents, try to cut back on the juice. You know, eating a whole fruit, like an apple, instead of drinking, you know, apple juice where all the fiber and everything's taken out of it. Try to stick with, you know, as much as you can, water. A little tip I do for myself, because sometimes, you know, I crave soda and things like that too. So I'll do sparkling water and just do a splash of orange juice in it or something like that. So it makes me feel like I'm drinking soda. Instead of putting like maple syrup on your pancakes, maybe try sweetening with berries or something like that. You know, I do a lot of recipes where instead of putting sugar in like cupcakes and cakes, I use natural sweeteners like dates. You can put dates into smoothies, cakes, and it'll, you know, it'll provide the sweetness, but also provide all the nutrients too that you don't get with white sugar. So that's a huge tip I'd say to parents. Just kind of watch the sugar, especially with the kids.
Sonali, thank you so much for joining us. How could we learn more about you?
So you can go to my website, which is thefoodiephysician.com. We're also on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest at The Foodie Physician. And my cookbooks you can find anywhere books are sold. So Amazon, Barnes & Nobles, anywhere.
Perfect. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much for having me.
Hope you enjoyed this episode of Common Denominator. Join me next week when my guest will be 23-year-old powerhouse Pavlina Osta, who's hosted her own radio show at age 11. Pavlina is a podcast host, a social media influencer, and the author of the Amazon bestseller, 20 Things Every Motivated 20-Something Should Know.
She'll deliver expert tips on how millennials and Gen Zers can thrive in today's world. Until then, have a great week, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for listening to the Common Denominator podcast. Join us next week for another inspiring, impactful, and empowering conversation. To learn more about Moshe, head to moshepopak.com. If you enjoyed this episode, feel free to share it. And we'd be grateful if you could rate, review, and subscribe to the show.